Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I welcome in by the one and only Stephen Debo Deaton. What's up, Stephen?
What's up, man?
Man, it feels like it's been months, dude.
It does feel like it's been months. I don't know that it's been multiple months, but it's had to. We're going on maybe like a month and a half. Maybe it has been 2 months. I don't know.
I think it has been 2 months, man. But I tell you what, dude, it has been awesome.
It has been.
Just taking a break and not having to crank these out or anything. But I enjoy just sitting back and talking about Dynasty. But man, Stephen, we are 2 weeks away, man. I think about a week and a half now, right?
Yeah, we're close. We're getting close.
It's getting there, man. Then we got our final preseason games this weekend. The NFL takes a week break, and then we start week one. I believe it is September the 9th week, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe September the 9th, I believe. I think the first regular season game is actually Thursday, September the 7th, the Lions and the Chiefs on Thursday night.
So it's coming up, man. I'm getting excited,
Stephen. Coming quick.
I know if your leagues are like mine, your dynasty leagues are starting to kind of be a little bit more active. I think this week alone was the first time that I started kind of getting back into trading and things like that. And I think I've so far this week, Stephen, I think I've made 5 trades.
And wow.
Yeah, I think I've made more this week than I have the entire offseason.
Right.
So fun times, man. But hey, Stephen, real quick, man, as we're getting ready to go back into the dynasty mindset and as our leagues are starting to heat up and stuff, I actually had a league mate bring up this question this week. Our friend over at Jab Step Fantasy Basketball Podcast, Ben McCarthy, me and him were talking about Sam Howell's value. And so what I want to talk about real quick, Stephen, in a super flex league, let's do a quick value check real quick. All right. Okay. Sam Howell, what's he worth right now in a 12-team Superflex, PPR, all that kind of good stuff?
Yeah.
Just in a standard Superflex league. What do you think he's worth right now?
Well, first off, I just want to bring up the fact that I'm glad Ben's asking questions because he don't know a whole lot about fantasy football. So it's a great thing that he's coming to the experts for this and asking real advice from real experts. So kudos to you, Ben. But as far as Sam Howell goes, I like the guy. Like, I've kind of watched him in some preseason. I've seen some of his stuff. I like the guy. He is a very hard value. If I had to put a value on him in a super flex, I think the best I have him at is, I mean, and we're talking the best here. The best ranking I can give him is back end QB2 right now. I'm probably okay with that. But that's probably the best I can give him right now just because it's just some uncertainty there, not a whole lot of draft capital. I don't know, you know, what their plans are. But I like him, and I think if he succeeds, he can obviously jump up that ranking a little bit from that in my eyes.
Absolutely, man. I'm going to pull up Keep Trade Cuts rankings real quick, Stephen, and let's play kind of like a would you rather have game, all right?
Right.
All right. So I'm looking right now. Sam Howell is currently valued at QB 23. Okay.
Okay.
I want to list you some couple of names. You just tell me who would you rather have in Dynasty Leagues right now? Sam Howell, who is the starting quarterback for the Washington Commanders, 5th-round pick, I believe, or Aaron Rodgers, who is valued a spot below him in rankings right now.
I think, again, I think this is team dependent, right? Are you dead red? If you're dead red, win now. You got to take Aaron Rodgers. I think if you're middle of the pack, or if you're a rebuild, or if you're just, you're one of those three. You're either dead red win now, you're in a rebuild, or you're middle of the pack. So if you're middle of the pack, you don't need to be there. Go one way or the other, okay? But I think if you're dead red win, it's Aaron Rodgers. I think if you're in a rebuild, it's Sam Howell. I think it's that pretty much that simple on that.
All right, let me just give you like 8 or so quarterbacks underneath. You tell me if you'd rank any of these ahead of them.
Okay.
Derek Carr, Matt Jones, Desmond Ridder, Russell Wilson, Will Levis. My gosh, Will Levis is all
are
the
these
way
behind him here?
These are all behind him. Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
There's a couple of those that I personally have ranked ahead of him. I have Derek Carr ahead of him.
I put Wilson ahead of him.
I put Russell Wilson ahead of him. I don't think I'll put Jimmy Garoppolo ahead of him. Who else did you say?
Matthew Stafford.
He's going to have, I'm going to have to see how healthy he is. You know, he's kind of, I don't know. I mean, I could definitely see Stafford being ahead of him if Stafford comes out healthy this year. So
absolutely,
and Stafford is rising in age, and you know they didn't have a great year last year. He wasn't healthy, so he does need to have a nice bounce back year. But if he comes back like the Matthew Stafford we know, I think in this moment I'd have to rank him ahead. But again, this doesn't. I'm just talking in this moment. If I'm a Sam Howell owner, I'm probably holding him. To be honest, I'm probably. Unless you can get a good haul for him, I think I'm probably holding him. And I don't think anybody's going to give you a quote unquote good haul for him. So,
and I think he's a decent QB3 for your team. Like I know I've got him in a couple of spots, and he's literally my QB3. And
I think he's a very fine QB3.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I'm okay with that because like there's always a chance with quarterbacks in that range that they may not have a job next year. But at the same end, like if I'm selling Sam Howell right now, I'm definitely not taking anything less than, to be honest with you, starting quarterbacks, I'm probably not taking anything less than a first, to be honest with you.
Most of the time, yes, especially depending on the age, right? I mean, Baker Mayfield starting quarterback, experience. But are you getting a first for Baker Mayfield?
Oh, gosh, no.
Probably not. So, you know, I mean, again, starting quarterback, and I get that argument because I would make the argument too if I owned Baker, but you're just probably not getting that for Baker. So.
But, like, I'm not selling Sam Howell away for a second in the Superflex League.
I wouldn't either. That's why I'm saying you're probably just better off holding him. And I'm not saying you can't get a first. There's probably somebody out there that might pay a first for Sam Howell. They might be a little bit hard to find, but there's somebody out there that might. So
yeah, I mean, who knows, man. So now kind of going into our news and notes segment, Steven, like I said, we've been 2 months out of this thing, man. So we got about four players to talk about here. Okay.
Okay.
The first
I see three players on this list. But go ahead.
Okay. Three players in a scrub. so we got the very first signing that took place this offseason that was fantasy relevant was DeAndre Hopkins signing with the Tennessee Titans. DeAndre Hopkins was actually released by the Arizona Cardinals, if I'm not mistaken. They didn't get anything back from him at all. And then he ended up having his pick of the litter. I know some teams that he was rumored to was the New England Patriots. I don't really remember where else it was, but then he ended up signing with the Tennessee Titans, a very, very run heavy team and with a young wide receiver of Treylon Burks on the other side of him and a quarterback of Ryan Tannehill, who may be on his last one or two seasons in Tennessee. And so my question for you, Steven, is with him signing with the Tennessee Titans, does this change your dynasty value at all for him? Say that, for instance, if you're a win now team, are you comfortable having D-Hop as your wide receiver two, wide receiver three?
Yeah. I mean, and very easily I'm comfortable having him as wide receiver two or three. Three especially. I mean, why would you not? He's going to demand the ball. He's DeAndre Hopkins. Is he falling? Is he coming of age? Yes, he is getting older. But where's he been where he hasn't produced? I mean, I get he's going to Tennessee, not very sexy. But again, right? You know, Ryan Tannehill's not just terrible, and he's gonna feed DeAndre Hopkins for these people that and this could this happen? What I'm about to say, absolutely, it could happen. But in my opinion, Treylon Burks isn't just fixing to come down there and just run away with that wide receiver one. It's probably gonna be DeAndre Hopkins, and he's probably gonna get fed by Ryan Tannehill. Now, who knows? You know what that looks like, but I'm going to say his target share is going to be very, very high in Tennessee. And we all know that target shares are king in fantasy.
Absolutely, man. So just right now on DLF, Dynasty League Football, Stephen, DeAndre Hopkins is ranked as wide receiver 41. He is behind players like Mike Williams, Rashad Bateman, Mike Evans, Jameson Williams. A lot of those players I would trade straight up for D-Hop. And I know that he's 31 years age. I get that.
Easily.
You know, but my thing is, man, is that, like, I think D-Hop still has some juice on him. And I think that with Tennessee Titans, he doesn't have to be a field stretcher, you know? All the training camp videos that I've seen is him catching, like, 10, 15-yard passes.
He has been a field stretcher in a sense, but not really as of late over the past, you know, two or three seasons. He's kind of just been a guy that has great hands, runs good routes, and he's going to catch the ball if it's thrown in his vicinity, you know?
Yeah. And I think right now with all the rookie hype going on, Steven, I think you can get DeAndre Hopkins for cheap, man.
I think you can too. Like I think if you're trying to win, and he's on a team that's on a rebuild, man, I think you can get him. And I think you can get him, like you said, for cheap. And I think if you, you know, if you're trying to pencil him in as your wide receiver two, I'd feel decently comfortable with that. If he's your wide receiver three, man, I like it a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. The second signing that happened, I actually think it may be in reverse order here that we have it on the show, Doc, Stephen. Zeke signed before Dalvin. Is that correct?
Maybe.
Oh, well, let's just talk about Ezekiel Elliott first.
Okay.
Zeke signed with the New England Patriots.
Yep.
Man, after seeming like he wasn't going to sign anywhere, the vibes that I was getting, he ended up going and signing with the Patriots and being Ramondre Stevenson's handcuff. A lot of people are thinking that he is going to steal goal line work from Ramondre, who was not uber efficient in the goal line. And we also know that Bill Belichick, he likes those big-bodied running backs. Look at what he did with LeGarrette Blount whenever he scored the Lord 10, 15 touchdowns that one season and didn't really rush for anything. My question for you, Steven, I'll be honest with you, man. I'm a Ramondre truther, okay? I think he was a value last year. And to
this hurts your heart.
Not at all, dude. I'll
no,
be honest
you
with
good?
You. Watching Zeke play last year,
I
don't think it hurts my rankings of Ramondre hardly at all, dude.
Yeah.
Just if I'm honest with you, now he'll probably steal some goal line work and stuff like that, but that's the thing is that Ramondre doesn't make his money at goal line work,
no,
you know?
Yeah,
and so when you look at him last year, when he finished what, like top 20, top 15 running back, the reason that he did was because of PPR points and rushing the ball, getting like 75 yards rushing. And so with Zeke, I think Zeke will get some touchdowns and stuff, but as far as moving Ramondre down, I'm not putting him outside the top 18, nothing like that. You know, the reason I say this, I actually just saw somebody last week, as soon as this signing took place, Stephen, ended up selling Ramondre for like Tanks Bigsby in a second. And I'm like, I'm not there, man. I don't get it. What's your thoughts?
It's kind of like, and I'm not a Ramondre truther, although he's been good. I can't deny he's been good for them, but I'm not a truther like you are. I don't think Zeke's coming in there and taking that job or anything like that, but I do think he's going to play more than Ramondre Truthers want him to. I think, like you said, I think he will get some goal line work, and I think he actually probably will get a little more work on top of that goal. You know, I don't think he'll be suited for goal line only. I think he'll get more work than what you're hoping as a Ramondre Stevenson guy. But is he going to come in there and take over his Ramondre's job? No, that's not going to happen. I just think he is definitely going to hurt Stevenson's value of week in and week out scoring that Stevenson could have done without this happening.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, if you end up getting, like, Stevenson, if you get him, like, 15 touches a game, man, you know, still give Zeke 5 to 7, whatever you want to do, I don't care. But
he's getting more than 5 or 7 touches.
Yeah, I know. But still, you give Ramondre 15, 16 carries, dude. I think he's good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing. Like, Ramondre isn't the type of back where he's a three down back. You know what I mean? Like, do you remember whenever Eckler, I think it was back in the day whenever he had Melvin Gordon playing alongside of him, he got a little bit of that rest and stuff. And when he was on the field, he was killing it. But what we've noticed is that the age of three down running back seems to kind of be going away a little bit. You know, to where we're starting to see a lot more running back by committee. And the reason being is because, like, you're starting to see a toll on the running backs to where by the end of the year, they're tired, dude. They're exhausted.
Yep. Well, and I agree with that. There are – the days are – seem to be coming to an end of the three down running backs. If you are lucky enough to have one or you know, on your team, then that's great. But you're right. They're just not what they were. A few years ago, there's only very few at this point, and teams seem to be loading up on two or three. You know, like you said, you know, like you said, the three down back with no help from anybody else has kind of gone to the wayside in a way for some teams. So you see teams kind of loading up on different backs, kind of like what we saw with our next guy that we're fixing to talk about, Dalvin Cook signing with the Jets. You know, they've got multiple running backs now, and these three down back days seem to be coming to an end.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, Steven, as somebody who has Dalvin Cook in a couple of leagues, I'm okay with the signing. I have Dalvin in a couple of leagues, and I got Breece in a couple of leagues, and I'm perfectly okay with Dalvin Cook playing 1 year for the Jets and trying to get that Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, we don't know how healthy Breece is at this point. Could he, You know, is he probably still not quite there? Probably. I don't think the Jets do this if he's where he needs to be, because they do have some running back depth there with Michael Carter. They drafted the I can't think of his name. It's a funny name. What's it?
Izzy Abanaconda.
Izzy Abanaconda. Yeah, they drafted him. So they do have some. They did have some running back depth, especially if Breece could have been healthy. But this just kind of shows me that Breece isn't healthy. So if I don't own any Breece Hall, but if I did own Breece Hall, I'd be a little bit dejected with this signing for this year. But this, I don't think this is going to hurt Breece's long term value, if you will.
Yeah, I think he's still a top five dynasty back, honestly.
Yeah.
But like you said, kind of like what's your expectations for this year?
Yeah.
Because as somebody who has a win now team right now in one league with Dalvin Cook on it, like I said, it's probably best case scenario for that owner.
Mm-hmm.
Next, Steven, we had some drama take place over the last couple of weeks, man. We had Jonathan Taylor really at odds with Jim Irsay and the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
What we saw was basically him going in talking contract extension with Jim Irsay, and basically the owner saying, sorry, bud, the running back market is not what it used to be. You can either play or get franchise tag next year. And basically Jonathan Taylor demanded a trade, left the team for a little while with a quote unquote ankle injury or back injury or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then came back, and the Colts this past weekend actually gave him, I guess you would say, like a deadline of Tuesday to actually go out and have permission to seek a trade. And
right.
So as of right now, the rumors that I'm hearing as of this recording say that the Philadelphia Eagles are actually interested in Jonathan Taylor, which will be crazy. And then I've also heard that the Miami Dolphins are making a push. So far, they said that six teams have reached out and that two have officially made offers, with Miami Dolphins being one of them. Steven, let me just ask you this, man. How are you feeling about the whole Jonathan Taylor situation? How are you feeling about the running back situation, more importantly?
This running back situation across the league is kind of crazy in general, and they're for, you know, for whatever reason, for whatever it's worth, we all kind of see it play out. You know, these top running backs of the league are not going to get what they want. It's just not going to happen at this point. So either they're going to have to change expectations of what they want, or they're probably just not going to play. You know, so because I think these owners, right or wrong, have probably come together and said, look, we're not paying running backs. So just, you know, stick to your guns on this and we'll all be okay. But as far as Jonathan Taylor goes, 2 hours ago, Don Cleveland on Twitter said that the Colts had rejected the Dolphins' offer. And they said that there was another team that had made a serious offer, quote unquote, serious offer for Taylor to the Colts. But there's no news on that yet. So, you know, it said as of Thursday morning, no team is believed to have met the Colts request for a first round pick or something comparable in value. And they're probably not going to get it. Could they? Maybe, but probably not. So that being said, if you're a Jonathan Taylor owner, I'd be kind of scared. I'd be a little bit iffy. Mm-hmm. He's probably not playing for the Colts. Could this be a year where he just sits out completely? I think it could be. I think the Colts and their owner are hard-nosed. I know the owner is hard-nosed enough to probably just say, you know what, don't play. See how that works out for you.
Yep.
We remember Le'Veon Bell sitting out for the Steelers. How'd that work out? So it didn't work out very well for Le'Veon Bell, if you don't remember. He went to the Jets, right, and was never as good as he was. He never was. Okay, the Le'Veon Bell situation, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the Le'Veon Bell situation was basically what you're seeing here with Jonathan Taylor, except Le'Veon Bell sat the year out. And then he got paid with the Jets, but it wasn't any more than what he was originally offered by the Steelers. And so he didn't get any more money. He went to a worse situation. His production was not nearly as good. And so it doesn't always work out to sit out like this. And then, you know, and Le'Veon Bell was at the top of his game when this happened, and then he just went to the Jets and was nothing. So I don't want to say nothing, but he was not nearly what he was in Pittsburgh. So again, Jonathan Taylor situation here, keep your eye on it. Wouldn't be opposed to moving him if you felt like you could get nice value for him.
All right, so like, let me ask you this, Steven. Where would you put him at right now in your dynasty rankings?
I mean, running back wise?
Yeah. Like, still top five?
Yeah, I guess. Somewhere around there. This really scares me. I mean, like, this situation scares me because if he doesn't play this year, where's he at?
Yeah, exactly. Like
where's instance, he? Where's he drop? Where's he drop to in your rankings if he don't play this year? If it's this whole year out,
bro.
You don't know what his limb, but you don't know where he's at next year. You know, you have no idea what's going on with him. I saw it today, and I'm not saying this is going to happen. This is definitely not going to happen. But was it 8 years ago today? Andrew Luck retired on this day.
I saw that.
And so, like, you just never know. You don't know. I mean, nobody saw that coming. It was a video on Twitter, but it was 8 years ago today. Andrew Luck retired, and then I saw a video of O.J. Simpson having his fantasy draft, and he drafted Andrew Luck 30 minutes before he retired that night.
Oh, no.
it's kind of funny. But anyway, I mean, so if Jonathan Taylor sits the whole year out, where does he fall in your rankings? Like, I mean, he's outside the top 10 for me, probably. You know,
yeah,
I'm like,
he would probably be like 10 to 12 in all honesty.
Yeah, you're missing so you go from top five-ish, to dropping all the way outside of the top 10 in my eyes if you sit the year out, and I'm saying that's a real possibility at this point, looks like.
Oh, yeah, and that's what's scary, man. Like, I remember, like what you said, kind of a different situation, though, but you remember, like, Javonte was being valued as a top five running back at one point? Yeah, and then with the injury and stuff, he dropped all the way down to, what, like 15, 20? And is just now starting to climb back up into their RB1 category, and it's still not quite there yet. And so you get contract situations like this. But remember what Calvin Ridley did? Calvin Ridley getting suspended for an entire year. Last time we looked at it, Stephen, he was down to, what, wide receiver 36 is the last thing that we saw?
Crazy.
But now he's getting back up to wide receiver 24-ish.
Yeah.
And so, man, it's just one of those things, man, to where I think the talent is there. And I do think the man should get paid 100%. But at the end of the day, the market is not what it was 5 years ago. I think us seeing Christian McCaffrey get traded to the San Francisco 49ers and the deal that he got there was kind of an anomaly. I don't see other running backs getting that type of deal, getting that type of situation to where when they demand a trade. And so with it, I'm skeptical. Like what you said, if I'm a manager, I'm sending out offers. There's a couple places where I'm kind of like in a reload year. I think I only have like one JT share, and it's a very, very young team, and I got running back depth. And so I may play the whole game. But a player that I'm not playing the whole game on, Steven, is the San Francisco 49ers QB3. QB3, I'm going to say that one more time. Trey Lance. And as somebody who had the most Trey Lance shares, and as somebody who drafted in a startup league Justin Fields in the first and Trey Lance in the second, it's terrible, man. And so all I want to say is this, Steven. A couple episodes back, man, we told you, the audience, to watch the trends. We told you that when you see dynasty players' values trending upwards or trending downwards, keep an eye on that and ride it like stock. If it's falling, get out of it. If it's rising, get in. And I'm going to be honest with you, Steven. I am so glad that I have went from having 5+ Trey Lance shares to where I can happily say I have 0 right now, Steven. And I feel like I got decent value on each and every trade that I made. And so as someone who doesn't have any Trey Lance shares, I can't imagine what it would be like for the ones who I know for a fact right now were hopeful that Trey Lance was going to be their QB2 going into this season. And so, I mean, it's just panic mode. And so what do you think about this news, Steven? Do you think Sam Darnold is a better quarterback than Trey Lance?
I don't want to, sit here and beat on my chest or anything, or, take credit for being right here, but I think I'm going to, BJ. I remember about a year and 2 months ago, sitting in here in my upstairs loft in the floor because I had no furniture up here at the time, in this hot summer, talking to you about Zach Wilson and Trey Lance.
Yep.
And my man BJ was flabbergasted that I told him Trey Lance was not good. I mean, you all but come over here and unplugged my computer and told me I couldn't be on this podcast anymore. And look at where we are now. You know, is Zach Wilson great? No. Is Trey Lance great? Absolutely not. But at least Zach Wilson is learning behind one of the GOATs and could possibly still take that job in the next 3 years. Trey Lance might be out of the league next year.
No, man. Trey Lance is learning behind Brock Purdy, dude.
He's awful. He's awful. He's awful. And look, I don't know. I hate it for you if you kept him. If you kept him and held him, you might as well just hold him because you ain't getting nothing for him.
That's exactly right, Stephen. We just talked about that many this past week, man.
You're not even getting a fourth for him, brother. So hold him, pray, talk, do whatever you need to do, but hold him, man, because it's not looking good for you. And I know another guy, I mean, you talked about this, that drafted him in a startup. In the first and second round, he took two QBs, Trey Lance being one of them, in the second round of a startup, maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago now, 3 years ago, I guess. And man, it was brutal. It's looking brutal for those kind of teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Steven, I'm looking at it right now, man. We did a draft, Lord, I want to say it was about 2 months ago. I was in a startup dynasty draft. Trey Lance went in the seventh round, Steven. Seventh round.
2 months ago.
He went before Jordan Love, Derek Carr, Matt Jones.
Ooh, Lord have mercy.
Dude, it's to the point to where 2 months ago, to be honest with you, that was his value.
Was that Matt Carr doing that startup?
No, it was not.
Sorry, Matt, you listen.
No,
sorry.
And the same guy, though, the same guy put him on the trade block today, and his exact comment was, I will take a bag of chips for this guy right now. That's the point that we are right now, man. And Steven, it's something that we've said from the very, I think from like last episode of the year before, the episode before, we said that it is really, really tough when you waste one of these high end dynasty startup picks.
You can't miss on a high startup,
man.
Pick. Can't miss.
And like seventh round, that's the foundation of your team.
Yeah, nope. I mean that's you're getting into the body, right? You're getting into the body of your team, and if you miss there, it's not good either. So,
and that's the thing, man. Like I wish the best for Trey Lance. I really do. I would hope that he can be a bridge quarterback somewhere, do something, you know. But the thing about it is, man, you can just tell that Shanahan and them do not trust him inside that system. No. And if they're willing to bring in Sam Darnold in the offseason and they're willing to give the job to Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy, who mostly only completes like 5 yard dump offs, then I mean, that's just what it is. I mean, they're looking for a game manager, and those are the two players that they want ahead of Trey Lance. And so, man, I feel for every manager out there that has them, because Steven, just like we said, man, the value is absolutely dead right now.
Yeah.
Man, it's crazy, man. I saw, like I said, while I go, Steven, on Keep Trade Cut, Will Levis is ahead of him right now.
Whew.
And that's just, yeah, that's crazy. All right, Steven, let's take a break real quick before we get into the next segment. All right, Steven, we're back, man. Let's talk about some training camp / Twitter hype.
Let's do it.
Man, every single time that training camp happens, players get hyped up like crazy. And basically, I just want you to tell me, Steven, is it legit or is it not? Okay. Very first player that I have been seeing all over my Twitter timeline, man, all over it, is Justin Ross, who was an undrafted free agent who signed with the Kansas City Chiefs last year, ended up sitting out the entire season due to a neck injury, and then now he is rumored to be competing for the wide receiver 3 position on the first team offense of the Kansas City Chiefs. In the preseason and training camp, he has actually looked really good. He's caught a couple of touchdown passes from Patrick Mahomes in the preseason games. He has been cooking some of the defenders in Kansas City camp. Are you buying into the hype, Steven?
Man, I don't know that I'm buying into the hype. I think he's probably got a shot to make this roster and maybe even be a starting wide receiver 3 on that team. But man, his injury history really scares me. He's had, you know, lots of injuries over his career, and I know injuries can be, you know, unavoidable and very
random.
Yeah, random. So I get that. As far as like believing in the hype, I mean, last year when we were having our rookie drafts, like he was going you know, in the third and the fourths, you know, third and fourth rounds. So, you know, if you have him still from last year's rookie drafts and you only spent a third or a fourth on him, I think you probably just hold him, you know, nobody's probably going to give you much for him, you know? So I think I'd just hold on to him and just kind of see what happens. But as far as seeking him out and buying him, I'm not.
Yeah. I think like he came from Clemson. Is that right? And
yes.
And at Clemson, he wasn't a bad wide receiver at all.
No, he was really good.
And that's the thing, man. It's like, like you said, injury history and things like that. I've got one share of him currently, and it's in a win now team where he's technically like my wide receiver, Lord, probably 12, 10 on my team. Right. And so with it, like if somebody offered me a second right now for him, I'm taking the heartbeat. Somebody offered me a third, I'm probably turning it down just kind of see what's there. I mean, he could be a starting wide receiver for the Chiefs, which would be cool. But personally, I'd rather have Rashee Rice. I would rather have, man, half the players on that team, to be honest with you. But it's one of those, everybody's looking for the next Tyreek Hill, the next Travis Kelce, the next target hog for the Kansas City Chiefs, because we know that Travis Kelce is on, well, I would say he's on his last leg, but dude keeps proving me wrong every single year. But, you know, I think it's a hold, or if you can get a second, sell him in a heartbeat. Next player that I want to talk about real quick, Stephen, is the round one wide receiver, Zay Flowers, who was drafted to the Baltimore Ravens. I don't know if you saw the touchdown pass that he had this past week in the preseason game, Stephen, but he took a little 5-yard crossing route and ended up turning it upfield for a 26-yard touchdown. They say that Zay Flowers in training camp has been unguardable, uncoverable, that nobody can stop him right now, that he is a route technician, and that he has hands. And so for me, Stephen, just to kind of throw this out there before you you do yours, I like Zay Flowers. I really do. I actually prefer him over Rashad Bateman and OBJ in Dynasty right now. I actually like Rashad Bateman as an alpha wide receiver. I've said that for a couple years now, but you know, with the foot injury and everything else, it's just kind of hard to depend on him. I've watched Zay Flowers in some of these games, and I have watched the training camp hype videos and all that kind of stuff. But even before that, man, I think Zay Flowers was the fourth best wide receiver that came out of this class. And I think that he was underrated, to be honest with you. I do think that that Baltimore Ravens offense with the new offensive coordinator does take a bump. And they are focused more on passing. I think at best, he's probably the second or third wide receiving option on that team outside of Andrews and if another wide receiver takes advantage over him. But I'm still happy to have Zay Flowers, to be honest with you. I got a lot of shares of him right now, Steven. How are you feeling about him?
You know, a couple of weeks ago, there was a report came out that he was the best looking wide receiver. This was before preseason games had happened, too. But he said he was the best looking rookie wide receiver in all of camps, in all camps. And then some of these preseason games came out and we kind of saw what we, you know, we kind of saw what he could do. I think he took a hit because of the landing spot, right? He went to the Ravens and everybody's like, oh no, the Ravens, what a terrible spot. Lamar Jackson's going to run a lot and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think. And then, you know, everybody's like, well, Mark Andrews is probably ahead of him on that pecking order. And Rashad Bateman's there and OBJ's signing, which I think that may have happened. That obviously happened later. But I just, you know, so he took a little hit there, but I'm like you. I like him. And I thought coming in just with who he was as a player, he was a really good player that probably got knocked a little bit because of where he went. But he's, man, he's obviously showing, man, he can be really good. And I'm excited about him. I really like him. I like this hype a lot.
Absolutely, man. Steven, the next hype that I want to talk about is actually kind of a surprise to me, man. It seems like for as long as I've been playing Dynasty, that rookie tight ends almost never hit. You know, they almost fade into the oblivion after a while. I think back to, Lord, who was that Green Bay Packers tight end that they drafted that one year? And everybody was like, oh, yeah, man, he's going to be a top 15 tight end.
Thurnberger.
Dude, I barely remember his name. But I'm not saying that's the case with these two. But I have heard nothing but fantastic things about Dalton Kincaid with the Buffalo Bills and Sam LaPorta with the Detroit Lions. Just to kind of throw this out there, Stephen. Currently, Dalton Kincaid, tight end 7 on DLF. And currently, Sam LaPorta is tight end 13. So that's technically you're saying that Dalton Kincaid is over tight ends like Pat Freiermuth, Darren Waller, Greg D, David Njoku. And I get it. The Buffalo Bills landing spot is fantastic. And I think that he can honestly beat out Dawson Knox as that tight end one. But are you, let me just ask you this, Stephen. Are you comfortable having him as your tight end one right now in Dynasty?
Kincaid?
Yep.
No. No. Okay. Not, no.
But he's valued at that.
Yeah. I mean, he's up there. I mean, if you're looking at rankings, I'm looking at one right now. It's, you know, and I know they're all rankings are different, but this one I'm looking at here, it's got him at six. I mean, I'm just not, he's not taking a single snap. I just don't trust that. I just don't feel good about it.
Keep trade cut has him at five ahead of Kittle.
Yeah.
And I don't get it, man. You know, like good for them. The hype's there. But you're telling me if I took Dalton Kincaid in the back of the first in a tight end premium league and I could flip him for a Kittle or a Goddard, bro, he's off my team. Just to be honest with you. Like no second guessing at all. And not if only I that, can, like,
yeah, I agree with you. No, I'll say I was just gonna agree with you. If I could flip him for a Goddard, like this particular ranking I'm looking at here has him ahead of Goddard, Waller, Kittle. I mean, I don't know how you feel about, like, you know, Evan Engram. I don't know. You know, some of these guys that were really good last year, you know, put up big numbers. I don't know. I'm not saying I'd take Evan Engram over him, but Goddard, Waller, and Kittle, I'm definitely taking over Kincaid.
Dude, I think Waller's going to have a bounce back year, just to be honest with you.
I've heard, yes, it's looking good. It's looking good. And him and Daniel Jones, the connection's looking good.
I'm just going to throw that out there a little bit. All right, keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
Now, Sam Laporta, the big thing about him is that he's going to come in. He's going to demand target share. I think that you have – I think actually him and Jahmyr Gibbs both are going to be heavily involved in the passing game, especially with Jamison Williams being suspended for six games because of gambling. And I don't know what it is about them Alabama wide receivers, bro. But at the end of the day, man, I think Laporta being valued as a tight end 12, not quite sure how I feel about that. But I think he's a tight end that I'm willing to kind of take a see, put some fillers out there. You know what I mean? Kind of see what people are actually taking for him. But I will say this, man, the hype around him, says that he has been dominating in training camp. All of these people are going to be dominating a training camp, but obviously, but Laporta, I think he's somebody to kind of keep your eye on going forward.
Right. Right.
But anyway, Steven, that's the tight ends. I haven't really heard anything about Michael Mayer. Heard some good news about Luke Musgrave. People saying that he's building some rapport with Jordan Love and all of them.
Yeah.
But a running back who I have been hearing fantastic things about is Tank Bigsby out of Auburn, who ended up getting drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars and is sitting behind Travis Etienne. Mm-hmm. Dude, Bigsby, he's looked great. Like everything that I've seen, he has burst. His hands have been fantastic with catching the ball. And like, I know one video that I saw was him breaking away like a 40, 30 yard run in one of the preseason games.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, I think he's a fantastic running back. I think that he is one of the best handcuffs to have right now, just if I'm honest with you, because we all know Travis Etienne's injury history. Not saying that that's like wishing that upon him by any means, but Bigsby's one of those running backs to where, you know, if you got a manager who don't really know what he has, then I would put some offers out there, man.
He's looked really good. And I do agree with you. It's going to hurt Etienne, I think. I think he's definitely going to get some – he's going to get some carry in that offense. I don't – you know, we'll see when it comes about. But Etienne is going to be hurt by this. Although, I think it will keep Etienne healthy as well.
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
It's a thing that's like, you know, yes, it's going to hurt, you know, maybe short term. But long term, if you're able to keep Etienne all year – I still think Etienne is good enough where he's going to get his. So, and I think Tank may be able to get, you know, his as well going. I looking here, he's ranked right behind Antonio Gibson on this, right behind Khalil Herbert, but ahead of James Conner and Tajay Spears and even Dalvin Cook on this ranking I'm looking at here for Dynasty.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man. Like, I just saw Tank Bigsby in a tight end premium league this past week. And it's one of those things where, like, there's that hope that's built around him.
Yep.
And could very easily be, like, I don't know if you remember this, but back whenever A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, when both of them were top 30 running backs in Dynasty, very, very easily be that.
Yep.
The next duo that I want to talk about real quick, Steven, that I have been seeing Twitter video after Twitter video about for the past 2 or 3 weeks, it seems like every single preseason game, there is a highlight from Kenny Pickett and George Pickens with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Question for you real quick, Steven. How are you feeling about Kenny Pickett and George Pickens collectively and then also separately as just as far as dynasty rankings? And then kind of finishing it up, do you think Deontay Johnson is kind of getting left out here?
Today I was actually doing some research on Kenny Pickett, and everything I looked at, man, said he has looked absolutely phenomenal in training camps, in preseason games. He has looked like a different player, fitting balls in tight windows, just making every throw he needs to make. I think I saw he has actually finished the preseason with a perfect quarterback rating, which is kind of crazy. But, you know, we'll see. I'm not opposed to him being your QB2 at this point, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as George Pickens, he's hot right now. He is very hot. I've got him in a couple leagues. I just drafted him again in a dispersal I was in. I think he could very well be a guy. I think he could be a guy. I'm worried about his separation a little bit. But I think he can, when the ball's in the air, he's a very high point go getter. He's got very strong hands, even when he's covered tightly. The only thing I worry about is separation just a little bit with him. But man, if he's making catches in contested windows, he don't have to separate. So I like him, but I would say it's a hard situation with Pickens for me. I do like him, but I think if you get an overpay, you might want to take it.
Yeah, I'm selling him on the value is right now, just to be honest with
you. Yeah.
Like, I'm looking on Keep Trade Cut right now, which, you know, it's all crowdsourced, so there is some kind of, skewed values and stuff like that. But as of right now, he is wide receiver 27 on here. He's right around Jerry Jeudy, Calvin Ridley, Terry McLaurin, Debo Samuel, Michael Pittman, Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
I feel more comfortable having most of those wide receivers as my wide receiver too, rather than George Pickens.
Yep.
And like what you said, man, like he gives me vibes. I don't know if you remember this or not, man, but like Kenny Golladay in Detroit, how it seemed like every single time the dude couldn't really separate that much. But if you threw the ball up, Golladay was coming down with it.
Yep.
That's kind of the vibes that I'm getting right now with George Pickens. Kind of mixed in a little bit of OBJ as well. But my thing is, man, is that I do agree. I think Pickett's somebody who's rising up the dynasty rankings right now, as somebody who only has one share of him in a one QB league, I think, man, I wish I had more shares of Pickett. You know, I've actually sent out a couple of offers this past week trying to pick up a couple more, but I think people are starting to realize that, you know, he was the only quarterback taken last year in the first round. Am I right on that?
Yeah, I think so.
And I think
everybody else fell. Yeah.
I think the Steelers kind of knew what they were doing, man.
Yeah, it looks like it. It looks like it.
And so I saw a tweet today, Steven, that said that he actually went back and watched every single one of the incompletions that he did last year that he threw and went back and made notes about each and every one of them.
Wow.
And then now has come back in the preseason and has been dominating. He threw a 35-yard pass tonight to George Pickens, and I think it was a 33-yard pass to Deontay Johnson. And so, man, just Deontay Johnson real quickly is somebody who I'm putting some fillers out on there as well. I think a lot of dynasty managers are getting sick of Johnson, and I think that they're not seeing the value that he has as a wide receiver too on an offense that could very easily get better and can very easily increase this year in productivity. And so I'm hopeful that the Steelers can do that. One quick thing to say as well, I don't know if you watched this or not, Steven, but Jalen Warren, the running back behind Najee Harris, is looking fantastic, bro.
I know. He looks really good. It worries me for Najee a little bit. I still think Najee is going to get his shares and his carries, but it does worry me. I'm just a little bit worried. Najee looks kind of slow coming out of his breaks and his box. You know, I don't know. I'm a little bit worried. I'm gonna give Najee the benefit of the doubt, but I am getting a little bit worried. Again, it could be one of these things. Does Jalen Warren keep Najee healthy? and keep Najee on the field for you, as you know. So we'll see. We'll see.
I've been hearing a lot of comparisons to Tony Pollard with that Jalen Warren, man. I don't know. Real quick, Stephen, as we are getting into the heat of the NFL season, as we're getting into the anticipation, the hype around it, week one games are only a week and a half away. My question for you today, Stephen, do you have any advice, some final advice to give before the season starts?
Man, just put me on the spot here. I think my advice right here, and this has been advice before, so this is not groundbreaking news here. But as you're going into the season, and we kind of already said it this episode, but as you're going into this season, man, do something. Be one way or the other. Like, don't ride that middle ground. If you want to go in blazing, guns a blazing, as they say, do it. If you want to bow out, do that. Go sell. And me and BJ are actually talking about this right now in a league we're in. Like, I'm going one way here. And so I'm doing this. I can speak on this from like just my personal experience of Dynasty. Like, you cannot win anything being middle ground. You can't do it. I don't, you know, and I do get, I've got a good friend, Kelby. We've talked about Kelby. Kelby's been a guest before. Kelby is always of the mindset to just wait. And then if he needs to sell later, he can. I just don't like that, because you miss out on people. You miss out on everybody's stuff, right? Because if people make deals early, then you've missed out on those deals when you could have gotten them, and now you can't. Does that make sense? So yeah. I just think you need to be one way or the other, and I think you need to do it early. I that's just kind of my mantra. I do get, you know, making that midseason push, and we will talk about that. I guarantee you, when we're in week 8, week 9, I'll be saying the same thing. I'll be saying, all right, guys, you know, if you got pieces to sell to get you win now, go do it. This is, we do this to win. We're in these dynasty leagues to win them. We're not in them to be a farm system. You're in it to win it. So go win it. That's my final fantasy advice for this week.
I like it, Steven. And just kind of add to that too, man, be honest with your teams. You know what I mean? Like, when you were doing that self-evaluation to see where you are, if you do think that you can make it to the playoffs, then, man, go for it. You know how playoffs are. You know how it is whenever someone sneaks in and ends up winning the whole thing. Go for it. Try to win you a ship. But if you think that it's very, very not that great and not that possible for you to win, and especially not only that, but to even make it to playoffs, if you've got your wide receiver one being, Lord, who do we say a while ago, Steven? Jerry Jeudy followed up by Mike Williams or somebody, you know? Then do something about that. Make those moves. You know what I mean? And so,
easy on my team there.
But man, do what you gotta do. And so, man, week one's coming up. We're excited about it. We'll probably have one more episode before the season starts. We'll kind of talk about it and see what we got going on. Looking for some players to talk about. See, we need to do some bold predictions next episode, man.
I'm down.
All right, bet. All right, guys. Be involved. Hey guys, we want to take this time and just thank y'all once again. Thank y'all for each and every listen. This is a Layback Podcast. It's mostly just talking some thoughts about Dynasty football. We appreciate each and every one of you guys. Follow us over on Twitter at LOL Dynasty Pod. Also, give our friends over at Jab Step Fantasy Basketball a follow. Go listen to some NBA talk once that gets back up and going. We look forward to continuing these episodes, putting out some good quality content. We will see you guys next week.